The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. To the annual Last Word Gadget Show. And yes, Curry's are with us, and we're going to have a fantastic Gadget Show tech bundle worth over €1,000 to give away later on the programme. Later, we'll be getting into all sorts of health and lifestyle gadgets. We'll be getting into gaming. We'll also be going into security cameras, webcams, coffee machines and things. But to start, we're going to look at sound and vision. And we have Andy O'Donoghue, who of course is with us on Tech Tuesday every week with us, and he'll be with us for the rest of the programme. Elaine Burke, the editor of Silicon Republic, is with us. And also Ed Smith, of course, from Evening Time Programming here at Today FM, has also joined us. So let's start with headphones. And Andy, you're going to go for an over-ear headphones to start with, please.
Matt, the Sony, now it's a ridiculous name, the WH-1000XM4s, commonly called the Sony XM4s, are the latest version of the classic Sony noise-cancelling Bluetooth headphones, and they are exceptional. They're, I think, the third or fourth pair of Sony headphones that I've reviewed, and I reviewed these in the newspaper only a month or two ago because there was a special edition which comes in white. But regardless of the colour you get, they are absolutely, they're as close to the perfect over-ear headphone that I've honestly ever worn. They're fantastic. Noise cancelling is superb. They're also really good no matter what genre of music you listen to. And in my average day, I'll cover a few, as well as radio, and also calls. And they're exceptional across all genres of music. And one of the things I love about them is they are foldable and they pack into this tiny little pack, so they're perfect to for travelling, and they'll fit in a handbag, let alone a rucksack.
How are they for phone calls?
Really good for phone calls, and noise cancellation is very good, but also the microphone, which you often find on headphones, you get a lot of wind noise potentially. Not with these. I really like them. I can't say enough about them. Sony, I think they won the Watt Hi-Fi Award again this year.
How much are they?
With these. Now they're down to $299. They used to be $369. I would say the special edition white pair, bit too white, and they will scuff in my experience. But if you want a great pair of noise-cancelling headphones, can't beat them.
Okay. Elaine Burke, editor of Silicon Republic. You got a pair of not over-ear headphones, but you got a pair of noise-cancelling earphones. What were they?
Yeah, they were the Sennheiser Momentum True Wireless Earbuds. So wireless earbuds, and just like literally two little gadgets that fit into your ears. And what I'd always say if you're getting earbuds is that you probably should go with a brand that you already know is going to fit well into your ears, because not all brands are designed the same way. I'm lucky enough that I've used Sennheiser headphones before and earphones, and I knew that they would fit well enough, and these did fit as well as any other Sennheisers I've used before.
Are they comfortable?
I was surprised at how comfortable they were. Now, I would never wear earbuds for too long anyway. I'm an over-ear headphones fan myself. I just find them more comfortable because I'd wear headphones for a long period of time. But you could comfortably wear these for over an hour without feeling them really. Like, that's what I found anyway.
Okay, and the sound quality was good, was it?
It was good, yeah. I did calls, listened to some podcasts, listened to some music. There is noise cancelling in them. They've got these touch controls that you actually tap the headphones themselves to control them, which for me, with bad dexterity and long hair, sometimes had a misfire there and accidentally triggered my voice assistant instead of the noise cancelling. So if you're a bit more dexterous than me, you might have a better go.
Excuse my ignorance. Are the mics for phone calls built into the earpiece?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah, they are. So basically, instead of using your phone mic, your phone could be like hanging by your side, but it would be using the mic that's kind of closer to your ear then instead.
How much do they cost?
They're about €200.
Okay. Ed Smith, what did you get?
Well, I had the Bose Quiet Comfort 45. They're retailing now on the Currys at $349, down from $399. And I thought they were excellent. Yeah, lightweight, very comfortable around the top of the head and over the ear. Nice snug feel. Lovely, warm, balanced sound. Very clear. I listened to a few different genres, as Andy had mentioned. A bit of Rage Against the Machine, a bit of Elvis, and some of the Doors. I find the Doors recordings stunning to listen to. So LA Woman specifically would be a good one to try out any headphones on. And really just blew me out of the water. You know, they do last for 24 hours on a single charge. It comes with an app. Now, everything that we're going to be talking about here comes with an app. Whether how useful those apps are, I don't know. I have a pair of Jabra 75Ts in-ear earbuds. The app for that is excellent. The app for the Bose, there isn't really much to it. It tells you how much battery life you have whatnot. But really and truly, very easy to set up as well, I have to say. The Bluetooth on this, it took about 90 seconds. And one the selling point for me, though, is the noise cancellation. I've tried many headphones which have lauded their noise ANC. And to little effect to my ears anyway, but I was watching the rugby on Sunday and I put the headphones on and I clicked on the noise cancelling and I was like I was on a different planet. It was truly remarkable, yeah. So if you're looking for something, again, 349, you're going to be spending a few bob, absolutely worth every penny. The Bose Quiet Comfort 45.
Let's talk about speakers, which I think are becoming increasingly popular. And Andy, you have a Sony all-in-one soundbar at €139.
Now, Matt, I bought one of these out of desperation because I had a television that I was using at the time. And flat screen TVs tend not to have great speakers, something we'll talk about in a while. But I bought one of these because it was good value and it had been reduced down. It was €139. It absolutely transformed the viewing. So the TV that I was using it on wasn't that big, but the addition of sound just made it feel, you know, like it was far more immersive. The spec isn't sensational, obviously, for the money. What I love about it, the subwoofer is built in, so there's only one bar to worry about. It's got Bluetooth, so you can play music from your phone to it. But it does have HDMI and optical. And that's important because it means with the optical connection, you'll get a better connection. But it just has HDMI for the TV. Really nice device for €140.
Okay, listener says that the reviewers getting these things for free to review any chance they'd pass them on. They're all going back to Curry's.
What?
They're not getting allowed
sorry,
to keep...
Sorry, Ed. I was only
we didn't tell you that.
I'm off. See ya.
Elaine, you have a Sonos Roam portable wireless multi-room speaker with Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa.
Yes. The fun thing about this was that of all the devices I got, this was the longest to set up. I had to sign up, verify my email, give it access to different things, download an app, sign a privacy policy. Oh, it took me 15 minutes to get this thing up and running rather than the 15 seconds everything else took. So that was a bit annoying. You have to use it with an app. There was no way around that. So you'll have to have that app installed on your phone and operate it through your smartphone. And it says it's portable, but I would not see this as a travel speaker because it has to connect to a Wi-Fi router to be activated. And if you leave the place you set up the Wi-Fi in, it will have a hard time of reconnecting to your new Wi-Fi system without going through all that rigmarole all over again. So I wouldn't recommend it for a travel speaker, but as a speaker in the home that you might want to bring from room to room, I can't question the quality. It's Sonos, of course, so the quality is really, really good in terms of sound for such a small speaker as well. It's really about the size of a pencil case you're talking here, and a small pencil case at that.
That's small?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a much bigger one, don't you, to review?
Oh my God, this monster. Are we talking about the JBL Extreme 3?
No, well, you can go to that.
Well, we have that.
I was going to go to the Samsung Wireless
Soundbar. Oh, sorry, yes, the soundbar. This one, again, much like Elaine, took a little bit more than a couple of minutes to set up, but it was worth it. This is retailing down, actually, to be fair to Curry's, down from 800 to 479. So it is a considerable price drop, and I do think it's worth it. Mm. This, much like myself, Matt, this is wide, heavy, but discreet and well built. So, this is a bit of a beast. So it comes with a separate subwoofer. The subwoofer is wireless, so you don't have to plug it in. It has 8 speakers in the actual soundbar itself. I tried out a few different movies. I would tend to use the opening scene to Saving Private Ryan as a good test of sound. Very good on the higher ranges. If you're a bass hound like I am, I like to feel it. It lacks a little bit there, but you know, it comes with a lot of EQ presets, which I thought were very handy, like surround, standard, game pro, and adaptive sound. So there are some bells and whistles if that is your thing.
So is this just one piece?
No, it's one bar. So it's 98 centimetres long. So
right.
If you have a television about 55, it will kind of stick out. So you have to have a fairly good size television.
And there's 8 speakers within that bar.
Within that, yeah. So it's inbuilt with 8 speakers. And then the subwoofer, which you can put anywhere else in the room, is separate. It is wireless. But they do recommend, I've done a bit of research on this, that if you're going to go the full hog with this one in particular, is to buy 2 separate back speakers for the surround sound cinema feel. But for $479, you want to be... people would also recommend the Sonos Arc, I think, is also in and around that. Better bass sound on that. But I thought for a general kind of... not entry level at $479, but for 8 speakers and a wireless subwoofer, this really is an excellent, excellent piece, yeah.
Elaine, you've got a Bang & Olufsen BeoPlay, is it?
Beoplay. I'm not totally sure how to pronounce it myself. But yeah, it's a Bang & Olufsen. So beautifully designed, as you'd expect from them. And not, again, on that kind of heavy bass side of things. This is about really high quality, clean and clear audio. You can really appreciate it if you listen to, say, a podcast that's been recorded with beautiful mics like what we have here. It really felt like the person was in the room speaking to me when I listened to stuff like that, which is, just goes to show the quality of this. It's a little bit bigger than a compact disc. It's round in size, which I've heard some people complain about, because if you have, say, a small desk setup, it doesn't actually fit quite neatly in there because of that kind of wide size as opposed to a narrow stand. But I thought the design was beautiful. It's got this leather strap, which I couldn't really understand. I couldn't see myself carrying it around on my wrists or anything like that. But sure, you could hang it up in the shower because apparently it's waterproof. I didn't try and do that just in case. Anything happened. But really, if you're into that kind of high sound quality but not quite a oomph sound, this is the kind of product to be going for. And it's totally wireless portable, set up in 15 seconds.
Okay, you have, Ed, the JBL Extreme 3 portable Bluetooth speaker.
This thing is an absolute monster. If it was an 80s actor, it would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. This thing is like a grenade, a barrel. So the packaging itself tells you who they're marketing this for. It's people on the beach. It comes with a strap for your shoulder that you can bring it to the beach. It's waterproof, dustproof, soundproof. And for some reason, it can survive for 30 minutes underwater while Bluetooth doesn't work through water. So what terrible situation you find yourself. don't expect to get any calls when you are. But anyway, so this thing is, it's 5'4 by 11.8 inches. So it's 4.4 pounds. This is a bit of a beast. The thing on this is not the most subtle speaker you'll ever hear in your life. It is definitely built for outdoor. So if you're in a beach area, beside a pool, and there's a lot of people gathered around, a lot of noise, this thing will cut through like a brute. You're not getting much. I was looking for bass in the previous speaker. I absolutely got it here. Maybe a little too much. You know, it comes again. The battery life on this is excellent, about 15 hours, but that can vary depending how loud you have it. It comes with a removable strap. So if you are buying a speaker for outdoor events, for barbecues, going to the beach, not at the moment, or if you're going on holidays, this is the one for you. And it does have a thing called party. You can share it with other JBL speakers to create a kind of a big party sound. So for that alone, it's worth it.
You have another JBL, Elaine, don't you, which is far cheaper?
Yeah, this one's 100 euro actually. So it's the cheapest one that I reviewed, and it was just as good quality but more of a loud party sound. Definitely this is the one that had the oomph, really, if that's what you're looking for. And yeah, it has the party boost function, which is advertised on the box and a big button on the speaker, but it's only functional if you have another speaker. Yeah, so yeah, I kind of found that a little bit annoying. But it's very, very rugged. It actually would fit into about the size of like a water bottle carrier if you had something like that in your backpack, which I found was a good feature to design it that kind of way. It's obviously targeting that kind of student market to be bringing a speaker away with you or to a party or something like that. But something pointed out by my mom, actually, because I got my family to test some of these things, she really liked some of the features on this that has very prominent raised buttons. So if you were visually impaired in any way, you'd be easily able to operate this speaker. So that's just a good tip for that one too.
Okay, listen, televisions. Andy, you've all the televisions. What's your top pick?
Matt, as it happens, coincidentally, the story behind the soundbar purchase is related to this. And this first television that I would recommend from personal experience. And I bought this LG. It's a 55-inch LG, and it was retailing for $679. Now it's $529. I paid around between the two, I think, for it. Why do I like it? LG have done a great job with the interface on their televisions over the last few years. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, if you want to get to Now TV or you want to get to Sky or Netflix, there's a bit on the remote or there's some on the screen. LG have now done it all. And they've done it all so well that you now have Netflix and you have Now TV, but you have Apple TV and Amazon Prime. So you don't need to be fiddling with the buttons. You press the home button on the LG remote and it all appears on the screen. Why do I like it? Honestly, it's incredibly good value. 55-inch suits a decent-sized living room, but it will fit a big room and it will fit a small room. When you go into 65-inch or more, you know, that requires a lot of space. This is really nice. It's discreet, relatively small bezels, and I just love the features and functionality.
€529, but you also have a television
really good value
for over €1,000 more expensive. The Sony Bravia 65-inch.
Yeah, and this, I've tested a couple of Sony televisions, and this one, and I tested the 75-inch, and two men and a dog delivered the 75-inch for testing, which is a bizarre story. But this is the 65-inch version, and they're big TVs. They need room, but we can't forget that Sony just make the most incredible panels. The colour on this television is spectacular. And they use very clever artificial intelligence, and they have this chip in there that translates the colours. What I also love about it is it has these really thin bezels, so there's no touch of black around the screen when you look into it. And surprisingly, for a flat screen TV, exceptional sound. Okay, I know it's down €400 to €1,600. It's not a cheap telly, but it is superb, and it comes with Google Assistant built in.
And you've one in between as well. You have a Philips 65-inch television.
The reason, it's funny because people don't talk about Philips some more in televisions. You know, years ago, Philips was a big deal. And
depends on your age, Andy, doesn't
it? Yes, indeed. Thanks, Matt.
In fairness, Ed knows also Philips television as well.
A Philips razor somewhere.
And some of your listeners might remember, Philips came out with a thing called Ambilight, and it was these TVs that had an LED built into the back of the telly. Right, yeah. And it would respond with different colours depending on what was on the screen. So if the ocean was crashing on the screen, you would magically have this blue light projected backwards. And Philips have this really nice, it's a 65-inch TV. It's down to 850, but it has that Ambilight immersive feature built in, and it also has those incredibly thin bezels. Now, picture quality is only 60 hertz, so it could be smoother, but for €850, it's a really nice price for this kind of television, and I love that lighting effect. Brilliant.
So people are asking about record players. I don't think we actually got any record players to look at this year.
No.
We did last year, didn't we?
We did last year, yeah. It's great to hear people asking for vinyl, though. Yeah. And if you want to buy a record player for Christmas, buy the Riga one. Simply the best entry-level television or entry-level vinyl player you can have.
I think I've asked you, Elaine, haven't I, about all the things you've reviewed?
Yeah.
There was one more for you.
I have the Mega Boom, yes. It's the Ultimate Ears Boom 3. This is, again, for outdoor use. A lot more subtle, a lot more discreet, less more of a beach party, more if you're drinking wine at the park. This has a strap and a hook in it that you can bring. It's got a 360 design, and again, as Elaine said, it's got massive buttons on the front. It does exactly what it says on its case. There's an app along with this. Again, not much use to. 15 hours off a single charge. The app, though, I will say, though, it does have a graphic EQ on it that you can adjust, and whatever the way you sound. The sound on this is absolutely sensational. So again, it's a really good price for €129. It's the Mega Boom, so the Ultimate Ears Boom 3. Definitely recommend it.
Elaine, as a listener, wants to know, any thoughts on Apple AirPods? Because some wants them for Christmas at €280. Am I just paying for a name?
When it comes to Apple, you sometimes are. But again, I think the thing with those AirPods really is all about the fit. If they don't fit your son's ears, they will be a waste of money because you'll lose them immediately.
And are you allowed to fit them?
No, but that's the thing. Like, you'd want to have used maybe Apple earbuds or something like an Apple product in your ears before now to get an idea, or just get a loan of someone to just test them out, because really the big thing with AirPods is they have to fit well or else they are totally a waste of money.
Just the headphones that Elaine tried are superbly fitting. They come with three different sizes of silicone in the box, and they have an app with the noise cancellation feature that you can activate. Far superior sound experience to a pair of Apple AirPods, I think.
Okay, Elaine Burke, editor of Silicon Republic, and Ed Smith, thank you very much for being with us. Andy O'Donoghue, who is staying with us, and he's going to be joined by Pamela Joyce. We're going to talk about laptops, security cameras, smart speakers, webcams, coffee machines, and more after this.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. We will have our brilliant Last Word Gadget Show Tech Bundle prize from Currys worth over €1,000 coming up in just a little while. Your chance to enter the competition. Andy O'Donoghue, just remind us the name of that record player you mentioned.
It was the Riga Planar 1.
Okay. Now, Pamela Joyce has joined us. She'll be on after 7 o'clock after the Last Word Tech Show, playing all the music. But we asked you to look at home security kits, and we gave you a Google Nest Cam indoor and outdoor smart security camera, two-pack, which costs €369. How'd you get on with it?
Not very well, Matt. It was a bit overwhelming, the setup of it, and I live in a rented house, so I was a bit conscious of sticking things up on the door frame and things like that, and my housemates being like, why are you recording us and all of this? But I found the setup of it relatively complicated, and I would say I'm quite tech savvy. I can do bits and bobs. But
what was complicated about it, because this interests me, because this is the thing. Sometimes you have these great ideas, you're going to do it, and you end up having to get an electrician or somebody to do the stuff.
I don't think you'd need an electrician, and maybe I'm just a bit thick. I don't know. But logging into accounts and things like that, it was just a bit like, oh, come on. There seemed to be a lot of menial kind of needless steps to actually get to actually putting it up and using it and things like that. So for me, it was a bit of an effort. I think I would rather get something that I could just get an electrician to come in and do it. But again,
what'd you make of that, Andy?
It's not, Pamela, it's not the first time I've heard people say this about any of these devices. First of all, if something is wired, that always makes me fearful, you know. And
are there wires in this? Or is it wireless?
Wireless.
You had the battery powered one,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, wireless, yeah.
But most of the cameras tend to be wired, and you do need an electrician for that. You know.
And you are attaching them to door frames, whatever, and things like that.
Absolutely. I suppose on the other hand, there are, you know, I remember security cameras from a company called Canary, and then you have the Nest, the Google cameras. Because it's security related, they are going to make sure that you create an account and you have a proper password, and we don't come back here in 6 months' time and Pamela is telling the story about how her camera was hacked by, you know, students in somewhere else. So all of that, you've got to consider all of that. But I agree, once you put it in, like, it's staying. So that's important.
Exactly,
as well.
So if you didn't get on well with the Google Nest Cam, how did you get on with the Ring Alarm, which is a 5-piece security kit but costs just €149, of course.
Again, so I will say that in my home house in Galway, my mum has the Ring doorbell rather than the alarm, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of a security thing and it's a doorbell. I hate it because I tell mom I got in at 2 a.m. She checks the camera and sees I got in at 6 a.m. So it's not that ideal for me. But I would say the Ring alarm system, again, there's a lot of pieces to it. It's just a bit overwhelming for me.
Is this just you? I mean, is your mother clearly 100%. More tech savvy than you are? She's put in the
she
Ring.
She didn't install it, let me tell you that much. But I would say the Ring doorbell is brilliant because if mum is away from the house, she can check it. If she's, you know, up in bed, she's often on her own. She can check it and see if there's anything going on outside. And I will often catch her just looking at her phone, watching the live view of the camera from the doorbell, which is pretty odd, but it's a good peace of mind.
There's a listener taking you on in relation to the Google Nest Cam saying, I've bought the battery and the wired one. It couldn't be simpler to set up, but I don't do DIY. No login or account setup issues either. It couldn't be easier. But the point is, you're giving an honest review of what your
experience
was. Exactly,
and that was just me personally. I'm not saying it's very difficult to do. Obviously, things are getting easier with tech and things like that, but it just seemed a bit convoluted to me in terms of, like, first me setting it up in a rental house as well. I was a bit conscious of that, and there was a lot of hoops to jump through to get to the actual functionality of it.
The one thing I would say about them, though, is once you start, A, it's kind of addictive because you start adding devices.
Yeah.
And like Ring have such an extensive, you know, there's the motion detector, there's contact sensors, you can extend the distance to cover, you know, the garden shed if you have one. So, you know, it's worthwhile for people who do buy the kit. It's worthwhile. If you can't do it yourself, call a techie friend and ask them to help because it's worthwhile. And of course, it's incredibly good value, peace of mind for a home security system.
Okay, what about assistants? Or what will I call them? Google Nest Audio is the first thing we're going to go to. Tell us about this, Pamela.
Basically it is, from all intents and purposes, from what I see, just a speaker, basically. I know it has different functionality. You can do smart home stuff. If you have all your smart devices, you can connect everything to it. But to me, it just doesn't do enough. For €80, it's basically just a speaker. This is the second generation one I was looking at. It's bigger than the Google Home, will say, so it's bigger and better speaker. It looks cool, I will say that. It's very, very minimal. There's no buttons on it, so it's all touch or voice control. And like I said, it can be connected to any smart appliances, so if you're away and you want to turn on the alarm, you can do that. But that's kind of it. I think it's a lot of money for just a glorified speaker, in my opinion.
Andy?
Did you think the audio was excellent?
It was very good, I will say that.
There was the previous version of this. This is a huge upgrade, and so for €80. But your point's a really interesting one, because if you don't have smart home devices within the Google ecosystem, you know, show me who's at the front door, or turn on the Nest, or off, or the kettle, or that. It, you know,
it's a speaker.
Is it overkill? I think it is. As a portable speaker, essentially, is what you were using it
I think that's what I saw it as, and I don't have any of the smart devices, so I can't really give an honest view of that.
You're getting Defenders for you as well, Pamela. Yes. It's not just you. I've tried one or two of those things, and they're still back in their boxes.
Yep.
Jeez, right. I see a business opportunity here, Matt.
Tell us about the Amazon Echo Show.
So, initially, I was a bit, I think this is a lot of bells and whistles for nothing, but I actually loved it. It was released in June of this year. I didn't really know what it was. I have the Echo Dot, which is just the speaker, so I thought it was going to be that, but it is a very, very elevated version of that. So it's actually a smart speaker that has a screen, and it is really, really cool. It's €99. So what you do is you log in with your Amazon account. It takes about 5 minutes, I would say, to update the software, and it has all the functionality of an Echo. So Alexa can answer questions. You know, Alexa, play me this. People's Alexas are going crazy now with me saying this. Games and stuff. But it also has a screen. So it has an 8-inch display. You can watch YouTube on it. You can watch Netflix. You can do TikTok on it. I know you love TikTok, Matt. So it's handy for if you're cooking dinner, and this very, very portable screen beside you if you want to look at a YouTube recipe. And a very cool thing it has as well, you can ask Alexa to tell you the news. So you put in your favourite news channel and you can say, give me the headlines from blah, and it will actually play you videos of news reports there on the screen. I absolutely adored it. I love it. And you can do Zoom calls on it. The quality of the camera is brilliant. And I will say that the volume on it was excellent. I was blaring the Coors while I was testing it out, and my housemate had to text me and say, I'm on a work call. Can you turn down the Coors, please? That's how loud it was. So I love it. It's brilliant.
And you can get an upgrade on that as well, can you, for extra features? No?
If you have other smart home devices, so they're all compatible with Alexa. It's great to hear what Pamela says about it, though. I think this is fantastic.
Brilliant. And for the price it is, it's unbelievable.
It's great value. It's an 8-inch screen, and I don't know if you noticed on the music, but it's like karaoke. It shows the lyrics underneath, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Going back to it again.
I was too busy singing with my eyes closed.
I do a lot of karaoke, as you can tell.
Okay, what about webcams, Pamela? Why are you interested in those?
So I did kind of a working from home setup. So I had a ring light, a webcam and headphones. So with the webcam, it was a Sandstrom Full HD Pro webcam. So in it, you get the camera itself, you get a mini tripod, and it's in around €50, I think €49. It was a bit meh for me. I think in this day and age, the cameras built into laptops are actually quite good. So I don't know.
Nodding, Andy, in agreement.
I don't think you need to invest that much. The quality wasn't that big of a jump from the camera built into my Mac, which is 6 or 7 years old at this stage. What I will say is that when it's a USB, so you plug it into the laptop and it automatically became the default camera for when I opened Zoom. I found a bit of issue with the focus, and I just didn't find the quality was a big enough jump to warrant getting a separate webcam and setting it up.
Okay, and the Logitech one?
That one, again, issue setting it up. I don't know what's wrong with
really?
Me. Maybe it was my laptop.
There's a trend here, if I may.
I know. Maybe I'm just lazy.
About the ring light? What's that for?
The ring light was good. So a lot of, they kind of came onto the scene because influencers and bloggers started using them for doing their Instagram videos or whatever. But they're very, very good for, we'll say, if you're working from home and you needed to be a little bit more professional. For me, anyway, I lose the light in my bedroom in the winter from about 4 o'clock on. So it's a ring light. You get a little tripod, again, USB, plug it into your laptop, and you can control not only the brightness of it, but also the warmth and the kind of hues. So in the evening, you can have kind of a softer, more orange light. It can be as bright as it wants. In the morning, you could have a blue light. Might be a little bit too good for early in the morning. If you have a call at 8:30 AM, you don't want everyone to see you exactly as you are. But it's great for, like I said, kind of elevating your working from home setup. And if we're going to be working from home for another while, so it might be worth investing in just to kind of give you that little extra, I don't know.
So that's a Razer 12-inch ring light, and that was €100.
Yeah, very easy to set up as well. You just kind of build it all together, and that was pretty much it.
Okay. Laptops. You got the laptops as well, Pamela. Jeez, we threw loads of stuff at you all
busy.
Together.
Very busy. So I was given the HP Stream 11, and I actually had bought one myself a couple of months ago. Because, like I said, I had a MacBook for 6 or 7 years and I never connected with it. I don't like it. I don't like using Word on it. I don't like typing on it. So I said, right, I went into Currys and I said, I just want kind of a very, very basic entry level laptop that I can have just for typing and writing and Word documents and this, that and the other. And the HP Stream couldn't have been better. It's only €219, which is brilliant. It's brilliant functionality, and it's an 11-inch screen. It's very, very neat. It's so light. It's so easy to bring around with you. Battery life is pretty good as well. I think it's up to 13 hours or something like that, and it's perfect for what I needed just for typing bits here and there.
And you also, and I'm going to go to Andy in a second, Liz, but you also got a Dell laptop, the Inspiron 15 and a half inch, which is now €579. How was that?
Again, see, with me, I'm like, a laptop is a laptop. I liked the Stream because it was so light and easy to bring around. So, I mean, the Stream for me is one you'd get for maybe a student or someone who needs something that's not going to be able to do that much. Again, with the Dell, the processor is a lot faster, so you can do a lot more with it. But again, depending on what you need it for, if you're going to need something that can do run lots of software and lots of tabs at the same time, then I would go for the Dell.
Andy, it's interesting because these prices are so much lower than what you'd pay for an Apple laptop, and yet so many people go for Apple laptops. Are Apple laptops worth the extra money? The, what are they called? The Air or
the MacBook.
MacBooks, yeah.
Yeah. I think they're incredibly well made, and the one thing that Apple will tell you, and it is evidenced by research from other third parties, is what they call the return on investment. Your Mac will last a very long time. And also people buy them because they have specific needs. So, you know, the MacBook Air still incredibly popular, and the MacBook Pro is increasingly popular for people who need to do video editing or who are creative and want that extra power. And particularly now, the new M1 laptops from Apple, which are powered by their own chip. It's great to hear. When I was looking at this huge range that you know, of laptops on the market, and when I was looking at the laptops from Currys, the HP Stream, delighted to hear Pamela bought one. I just thought this is exceptional for the money.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the value, €219. But what I also like about it is the weight. It weighs less than the kilo.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can keep that in a handbag.
Okay, I'm going to keep coffee machines for after 6 o'clock because you'll both be with us after six and Alison Healy's joining us as well. But very briefly, very quickly, a vlogging camera, Andy, these are particularly popular now, aren't they?
They are. And, like, you know, it's that whole influencer culture. And, you know, can you, for vlogging, can you use the camera on your iPad, your phone or your laptop? You can. But if you want to be really good at it, you do probably need to add a professional style device. And there is an exceptional new camera from Sony. It's the ZV-E10. It's an evolution for them. It's the second kind of dedicated vlogging camera they've done. It's got a big sensor, so you get this beautiful video image from it and 4K video. But it also creates this wonderful depth of field. So if you're, if you're at a fashion show or you're at a football match shooting yourself, and there's a little stand that goes along with it that you can control the camera by, it's really, really good. Now, they're not cheap. I don't, the price on this I'm don't have with me. But if you do want a dedicated camera, have a look at the ZV-E10. But you don't need to. Maybe your phone is simply good enough.
And you have a My Studio Studio kit for creators,
yeah,
haven't you?
It was amazing. I had so much fun. So basically, I'm not sure if it's for 7-year-olds or 70-year-olds, but I had a lot of fun with it. So basically, it's a green screen. You get a massive sheet. You get clamps with it. So I hung it up over my wardrobe, and you get a ring light with it and a stand, a tripod, and you mount your phone to it. You download an app. You can get a free version of it, or you can pay $3.99 for all the bells and whistles, and you can put yourself anywhere. I had myself on the Alps. I had myself in what looked like Hogwarts.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun.
That sounds like it could be fun on Christmas Day.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. Pamela Joyce and Andy O'Donoghue have come back into us. Alison Healy has joined us as well. And Alison, the first thing I want to ask you about is, we gave you a Fitbit to test out. Which particular Fitbit watch was it?
It was the Fitbit Sense. So it is, there's a good deal on it for Black Friday, actually. It's down to $239, and it is usually retails at $319. So that's a decent saving. And I would run, not walk, and get one. So I've never had a smartwatch before because I'm not that target market. I've never had a smartwatch before because I know everything and I don't need a watch to tell me I don't sleep or walk enough. But it's so much more than that. And I know everybody listening is probably like, well, welcome to the party. But I absolutely loved this watch. I really did. It wasn't confrontational. It was very kind and very easy to use. And the app actually that you get for your phone was really simple and clean, and it's not complicated. And I would, like, I hate having to download so many apps for every new thing you get, but this one was so, so good. It was really intuitive. Like, even a technophobe like you, Matt, would be able to master this one.
I think you'll get the wrong person's Pam has proved herself to be the technophobe tonight, not me.
That's so true. It's tidier than the Apple Watch, first of all. It's easier to use than the Samsung equivalent. It has all the usual, the sleep, the steps, the heart rate. Actually, speaking of Pamela, our friend Pamela Joyce also has a Fitbit, and she covered for the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show recently. Mm-hmm. And her resting heart rate on the Fitbit is around 69-70 beats. And when she covered for Ian for the entire morning, it was 101.
Which is good.
Can I ask, Andy, how long do these things last for? Because I am watchless at present because my Fitbit died on me in recent months. Having been obsessed with getting my steps in every day, I've now broken that habit. I don't know how many I'm getting in, but I'm sort of a little bit annoyed that I have to get yet another watch because they don't seem to last more than 18 months or 2 years.
Well, they should last a few years. And, you know,
Display screen died. It just started flickering colours, multicolored, and then bang, gone.
Yeah,
black.
You should.
And I tried rebooting it and all the rest of it.
If it's out within warranty, they'll replace it. They won't repair them, I don't think, anymore. It's easier for them to replace them, but they should last a couple of years. Delighted to hear what Alison says about the Fitbit Sense. I think it's the best, by a mile, the best Fitbit that Fitbit have ever made.
Really?
Absolutely.
€239.
€239, which is usually it's 319. And it's funny because I think it probably is eating the Apple Watch market, particularly because it's the same kind of demographic. And Fitbit have really sharpened their range. They have the Fitbit Charge 5, which is now out, and they have a Lux, which comes with a nice gold bracelet. So they're addressing kind of the fashion element of the market. But also, what I love about Alison's one, the Sense, 6 day battery life. You can't be charging a watch every day. It's ludicrous. So 6 day battery life, as well as the sleep and the heart and all of those features.
But Alison, you tried a second one, which is very expensive. This is Apple watch price range, the Garmin Fenix 6 Pro.
Don't talk to me about this stupid watch. Like, first of all, I'm not in the army, so I don't need this watch. Yeah. I'm not in the army. I think it has a very niche market. If you're in the army, this is the watch for you. If you're not in the army, probably avoid. It's not touchscreen, so it's fiddly on the side. It's ginormous, gigantic, right? It's absolutely huge. And it's not a smartwatch. I wouldn't recommend it if you were looking for a smartwatch first and a fitness tracker second. It's the other way around. So if you are going to go off-road on a hike, get this watch. It has great sat nav. There's even a solar power charge one available.
I think Andy likes it.
There is.
Yeah. No, Andrew, don't even start. No. The battery life is good. Okay, listen, I'll rattle through this. The battery life is very good. It can last up to 14 days, right? With the GPS, that's going to be significantly less. It isn't a touch screen, but it can be worked with these finicky little buttons on the side. It will connect to some messaging services, but WhatsApp is really hard to connect to, and it kept disconnecting. So, like, what's the point? You can't reply. You have to have like 4 or 5 preset messages that you can reply to. So you have to know in advance what people are going to text you, which if you had the ability to do, you could afford your own personal trainer and not a smartwatch. It's just, I don't know. It's very, very...
Okay.
Am I... No, I'm wrong. You
Fair
love
enough.
It. Andy.
No, I can see, Alison, I see your point exactly. I'm with you. However, there is a market for watches like this. They are popular.
Yeah, the army.
It's funny you say that, because one of the selling points is it helps you run smarter over various types of terrain. And the solar powered one has power for 20 days. And I think the marketing blurb for that says that's time for a decent expedition.
Yeah. You're going to go to the Sugarloaf, eat rabbits, and you'll have your watch.
As opposed to Super Value. Yeah. I know.
Okay, let's move on from that. Now, Pamela, you and I went for a spin the other day.
We did, oh Matt.
We went out on e-scooters.
We did. And I said we were about to take off, and I said this is the exact setup I want for my hen party. Me and Matt Cooper off on e-scooters. It'd be great around Stephen's Green. So I was on the Xiaomi, Mi electric scooter essential. I'll start off by saying that it was very light, and like the way it's built is lovely. It's quite a heavy thing to be carting around, but it's quite sleek and easy to to manoeuvre. It gets up to a max speed of around 20 kilometres and the range is around 20 kilometres as well, and the average runtime is 40 minutes. And I will say it's not for me. As you could probably tell, I was very nervous.
Were you graceful on it?
Absolutely not. Right. Like an elephant on a ball. It was like... Matt, now you took off like I don't know
a
what.
Gazelle.
You were like Usain Bolt straight out of the traps. And we did get to Stephen's Green and we got to a red light and you obeyed it and you stood there. But for some reason, someone was feeding pigeons. Yeah. And you had a little pigeon friend land on your shoulder.
And then I went a bit Logan Roy.
I've a little bit of the audio here.
Get the f*** off. Right, go. Right,
it
I didn't know that.
Wonderful. That's a little surprise for you. It was...
Sorry, what a bold pigeon. Pigeon was just like, land on Matt Cooper.
I'm going to land on Matt Cooper. So,
confrontational.
Yeah. I would love it. And you just were like, come on, let's go. And I was like, okay. Shaking and laughing. I think the fact that it wasn't for me is more of a reflection on me than the actual scooter. I'm just a very nervous person.
Did it feel really fast? Did you feel like
it
you
did?
Were...
And I think the max speed I went was around 13 kilometres an hour. Yeah.
Okay.
But it to set it up, basically, you get an app on your phone. You pair them. You had kind of a bit of bother getting it to stop beeping.
Yeah, then I got it going once I worked it out. And what was interesting, one of the first things I noticed around Stephen's Green, there's not an awful lot of cycle lanes. So you're on the road with the other traffic because we wouldn't go on the footpath. Then when we did get to the bit of the cycle lane, which is up by the Lewis stop on Stephen's Green, that's where people seem to think it's a pedestrian footway. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get around them, that they shouldn't be there.
Yep.
And then the other problem was, there's quite a lot of cobblestones in the area. And when you got onto the cobblestones, it was very hard to actually control it as it was bouncing around.
Yeah.
So I liked it when there was no traffic around.
But what about nipping in from home, like not in from town? So like from the home route, like nipping into town as opposed to nipping
traffic
around.
Traffic would be too heavy in my route coming in and there wouldn't be alternative routes. I would not feel comfortable even in the cycle lanes with heavy traffic. I just felt compared to you feel more in control of a bicycle. Mm. And even when you're still vulnerable on a bicycle, you do feel a certain degree of control. I felt less control of this.
Yeah, I felt like it could just take off at any second if I push the accelerator. Boom, she's gone.
Yeah, but that's it. It actually was. I actually liked it more than I expected to like it. Mm. I was on a Segway 9-bot, which a lot of the same features, but a front and rear LED lights as well. It's foldable and water resistant. And it's a lovely bit of engineering kit, as you can see it. But... I would just, maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I'm too much of an old
fella. Was it fun?
Really impressed by Matt. He was like some sort of Disney hero and I was the little sidekick behind him. behind him.
Timon and Pumbaa.
That's exactly what it was. Right. I can understand the draw to them, but I wouldn't be running around the city on them anytime soon.
And these are a big business. And you know, when the legislation happens here that will come to make them legal, because you guys were perhaps breaking the law the other day.
Bad boys.
And by using them on a public road.
Thought they're supposed to be on a public road rather than on a footpath.
But this is the thing. We don't have that legislation yet. So, you know, you're in a grey area.
I thought we were doing the right thing by staying off the road and not going on the footpaths around Stephen's Green, which would have been a lot safer for us, if not necessarily for the pedestrians. Yeah,
and look, interesting points about being in traffic. But when people start buying these in their droves, which I suspect they will, and the scooters you tried out are great scooters, like the Xiaomi has a KERS braking system, like a Formula One car. Three speed modes, you know, pneumatic tires, and they're really impressive devices. And I think we will see loads more of them.
Oh, they're not that pricey if they have all of that, then.
No, they're not. No, they're good, decent value. Between, you know, €400 will buy you either the Segway or the Xiaomi.
Do you have to walk around with a giant charger? What happens when you have to charge it and you get to work?
Well, the idea is you charge it at work. And what will happen, and we're already seeing it in companies, are setting up charging stations like in canteens and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Okay, Alison, you decided to get a Kindle Paperwhite.
Paperwhite, I did. So this is the new 6.8-inch display and I have two words for you. Colour temperature. It's going to change your life. It was originally available on the Oasis model, but that was much more pricier. So this is down into affordable range for a reader.
€149.
€149. And you can adjust the colour temperature of the screen. So you have a choice of 24 colours, but the amber is the way to go. It's like reading a salt lamp. It's the only way I can describe it. So it was a really pleasant reading experience at night time. And it's pretty much perfect. I think the display is increased from 6 inches previously to 6.8 inches. And what that means is there's more text and more space. So you're not changing the page. Don't you find on a Kindle, you're reading faster and you're reading, you feel like you're turning the page more. So you're not like lost in anything. You're aware that you're like seven sentences in, you have to turn the next page. So you're kind of able to get like submerge yourself into the reading experience easier for this model because there's
I've
more
gone
text.
Back to printed books.
Of course you have. You're a
dinosaur. I just have. I just feel better about it because rather than downloading, yes, the books are cheaper when you download them via Amazon, but I actually feel that just go and buy books in a bookstore if possible. Sorry, maybe that's anti-tech.
I agree.
No, but I give this. Okay, but that's a different. That's a separate argument. We're talking about people who read on e-readers. Well, it's not about book versus Kindle because this is.
No, it's not.
It's not, and it shouldn't be. And it's so responsive, and it's like it's got a 10-week battery life. Are you joking me? That's.
But in fairness, Andy, you recommended either last year or the year before the smaller Kindle things. I can't even remember the name of them.
The tablet.
Fire.
The tablet, the Fire.
Oh, listen, I was a fan of the Fire.
Yeah. And I actually do use that. And that was one of the best purchases I've ever made. Because that was
like
so cheap.
Yeah, it was great value. Oh, it was incredible value.
Yeah, they own you now, by the way, Amazon. But that's the price you pay.
but for travelling, Alison, the Kindle, bring 10 books on holiday.
Just for your bedside locker as well. Like it, I think it's a very enjoyable reading experience and I really loved it.
Okay. All right. That's good. Have you gone through all your watches, have you?
There was the Samsung, but I'll talk about that with the Flip because I paired it with it, if you want.
Right, we'll do that, so, because you had that phone, a Samsung Galaxy Flip.
Yeah, the Z Flip 3. Andy showed me this after the show last year. He said, oh, look what I have, that's coming to market. And he opened the phone and my head blew off my shoulders. So it was just, the future's here. It's a small little square and then you unfold the phone and it opens up to a really large display phone that you can't even see the crease or whatever. So I got my grubby little paws on one this year. And I'm not sure the future is foldable. I'm not sure. I wanted to love it. It's very innovative. Like, it really is. It's amazing. But, I mean, they're saying how phones are getting so big. And I have the iPhone 12 Pro Max. It is. It's comically big. So they're saying this will save on space and it'll fold over. But you still have to open it to use it. So I think that's a null and void argument. I'm not sure what they mean by that. You don't, in fairness to Samsung... The camera is still excellent. The speakers are still excellent. Battery life is excellent. It's really usable. And it is after a while, the crease does kind of, I can't describe it properly. It fades away into the background, but it's right where your thumb scrolls. So you feel it with every motion. And I don't think I'd be
okay, as it happens, that isn't in Curry's, the Samsung Galaxy Flip, but you did pair it with the Galaxy Watch 4, which is down to €319. How did you find that?
So it's very,
not an army watch.
So it's very good looking. It's a very good looking smartwatch, right? And they had a 4 Classic where it seems like they've released it after 2 years. So it's I'm not sure what improvements they've made on their previous ones other than software and hardware updates. But it's weird because I have Apple products, right? And this Samsung smartwatch is not compatible with a lot of its features outside of Samsung, never mind Android. So unless you have a Samsung, you're not going to get, they have this kind of amazing blood pressure and ECG measurement features, which is the future of healthcare, like in your pocket. But unless you have a Samsung phone, never mind Android, you can't use it. So I'm not sure, you're locked out of your own device, really.
Andy, talk to me about other phones. A lot of people were texting in last night saying the Google Pixel 6 Pro is a good phone.
Yeah, this is the flagship, the flagship Google Pixel phone. And this is the most notable Android phone of the year. Starts at $899. There's a Pixel 6, which is 649. That's only 6.4 inches. The Pixel 6 Pro has a 6.7-inch screen. 50 megapixel is the core part of the triple rear camera. Comes in 128 or 256 gig. And it has wireless fast charging and it has reverse charging. So if your headphones go flat when you're out running or traveling, you can use your phone to charge them. Can't say enough about it, Matt. Google have always made pleasant phones. This is exceptional. And for the money, wow, it's...
But it's over €1,000.
No, it's 899.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's 899. And so it compares really well to the best phones from Samsung and Apple.
Okay, but you have an iPhone 13 as well.
Well, and this is going to be, you know, the most popular phone of the year, probably, because people... will be upgrading. For instance, in Alison's case, who has an iPhone 12, should you upgrade? You shouldn't. There's no reason to upgrade from an iPhone 12 to an iPhone 13. But if you're an iPhone user and you have a phone that's maybe 3 years old, is it worthwhile upgrading? It is. Powered by the A15, incredibly smooth and fast. And if you're in the Apple ecosystem and you have a phone a few years old, yeah.
How many of you have issues with charging, getting things charged, all your devices?
No. I have the Lightning charger for my phone, so it charges in an hour. Same for my AirPods. I'm an Apple girl, so I don't really have that issue, I don't think.
I've nearly a charging rota in my head. I have to charge my Switch, then I have to charge my Fitbit, then I have to charge my phone, then I have to charge my laptop.
So if you have a routine set up,
after the e-scooter, I'm like, it's Tuesday, I have to charge my Fitbit. Okay.
But you've got to add the e-scooter into that, yes.
No, thank you.
No, okay. Well, you've got one. It isn't in Currys, but you have a portable charger, which is an expensive one.
It is expensive. And this is one of the things, Matt. I was away for a few weeks earlier on in the year. I was terrified about my phone going flat or even my headphones going flat during the day. What would I listen to? Gosh, I'll have to talk to people. You know, can't
your
do
own
that.
Thoughts?
Yeah,
no, thank
exactly.
You.
No, I have enough of them. So I wanted to get a charging device, but I want a portable charger that will charge my laptop. So for travel, for flying, for work, for wherever you are. And it's really hard to get. I did find this remarkable thing. It's called the IntelliScout Pro. About €260, but it has a wireless charger. It charges up to 5 devices at once. Its case can be used as a wireless charger, and incredibly, it'll do 240-watt charging, so I can charge my laptop on it. So it means you get on a plane going
to
America.
How often do you have to charge that?
You can, it has days in it.
Okay, that's
so my experience was about 3 or 4 days, but that's with wires and bits hanging
off. Will it work with anything? Any products?
Anything, yeah. Anything. And so people have been buying, you know, those portable chargers for phones for years. Great. You know, you'll get an extra half a day or a day. This is exceptional. And for the money, it just means peace of mind.
That's cool.
Okay. Alison, you got a body clock.
Yeah. I did, and I wish I didn't. I was really rooting for this one. This one disappointed me personally. So I do have a salt lamp by my bedside, and then I have a speaker for my iPhone that does the white noise jabbers, and then the radio and the phone acts as my alarm. So I was just really hopeful that the Lumi would be the one-stop shop for everything. So it has this gentle sunrise and sunset wake-up ability, and you can select white noise or FM radio if you wanted to fall asleep to the best of the last word, whatever you're into. But it's really okay. It looks lovely. There's a kind of a soft grey base and little feet, and it has this kind of over 15 or 90 minutes you can set the light to increase or decrease. But I'm broken, but at nighttime I just lay there waiting for the light to turn off, staring into the distance. It made me more agitated and more anxious. What timer is it on? Then I don't know if I programmed it wrong, but Alpine goats was my background noise. Very niche. I was like, is this the Garmin watch now? Are we out hunting? It just felt very strange. The wake up stuff, the light didn't wake me up, and I wasn't aware. I used it for 5 days and I wasn't aware of waking up in a great mood. Now, that wouldn't be...
Okay. Did your air fryer cheer you up?
Yes, I loved it.
Oh, thank God for that. Right. What's this one? Your air fryer.
I loved it.
Which costs €119.
I thought, what's the point?
The Ninja air fryer.
Yeah. Ninja air fryer. So it has So basically, it's the healthy deep fat fryer, right? So it uses airflow to air fry, funnily enough, food, and it can reheat, it can cook from scratch, it can actually dehydrate this one, which is very fancy. But to give you an idea for size, it's got a 3.8 litre capacity, so that's around a 900 gram bag of chips. And it reduces cooking time, and it looks damn good on your countertop. It looks so good. And I absolutely loved it. It was by far the nicest sweet potato fries I've ever made. I cooked chicken in there. I did the nicest asparagus of all time, with it held the seasoning so well. There was still a bit of crunch. You know, when you steam vegetables, Matt, it tastes like sadness. This didn't.
Cookery with Alison Healy.
So you're all welcome to come for dinner. But I really, really enjoyed it. And the key for me is how easy, how cleanable it is. Like, everything comes out, the bins come out, you can just throw them into the dishwasher. Really, really simple to clean, or even just throw them into the sink. Really, really lovely.
We don't have time to get to the coffee machines, which is a good job, because Pamela, I hear they weren't tested.
Well, we tried. We set them up out in the office, which they were quite easy to set up. But the coffee that came out of them, not for me.
Okay.
Now maybe
they need a couple of runs.
Yeah, they were nervous. They were a bit nervous. They got stage fright.
I bought a Sage coffee machine during lockdown. One of the best ones I've made. It was terrific. Anyway, listen, Pamela Joyce and Alison Healy and Andy O'Donoghue, of course, thank you all very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
Now, we're going to finish out the evening by talking to the games editor for entertainment.ie, Mike Finnerty. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Let's talk about the hardware first. Tell us about, which is, I suppose, the most desired item for many people this Christmas, the PlayStation 5.
Yes, so the PS5 is like a Ferrari, where you may be wondering what the fuss is about. And for a lot of people, it may be a bit of a white elephant right now because nothing is out for it. But I've actually had my hands on one for the last few weeks, and it's a magnificent device. If you're able to get one, definitely, if you're in the position to get one, because I know a lot of people have had trouble trying to get a PlayStation 5, it's really worth your time and money.
Why so? What's so good about it?
The graphics are just absolutely tremendous on it. You know, Ratchet and Clank looks like a Pixar film come to life. There's a game called Returnal, which is kind of like, you know, a time loop game that has like this most gorgeous visual design. And I'd like to shout out the Pulse 3D headset, where for people who like their tech, obviously at the tech show, it's a real treat for like audiophiles, where you can hear like every single thing in the game. Now, the only catch is not every game supports it, but it's really worth investing in the Pulse 3D headset if you're in the market for a PlayStation 5. And it doesn't do just games. It could also be used as a 4K player. So for movie buffs with a good TV, it's definitely worth investing. And on the game front, you obviously have Horizon Zero Dawn coming out next February. And if you sign for PlayStation Plus, you get 20 free games with it as well. So if you are lucky enough to be in the position to get a PlayStation 5, by all means, go for it.
Okay, what about the Xbox X and the Xbox S?
I can already tell that that's going to be very confusing for some people. So the S does not have a disk drive and the X does. I feel I should clarify that for anyone listening. I get confused about it myself and I write about games for a living. But the S is kind of the budget option of the Xbox One. It's kind of a more upgraded version and it's really a tremendous value for money. I'm a huge fan of the S. I actually have one in the house. And the X is really, I would say, the Michael Jordan of games consoles right now. And if you're in the position to buy a PS5 or Xbox One X, if you're really serious about your gaming and your graphics, I would go for the X. But the S will do the job just fine for the average gamer. I have it right here in front of me. It's about the size of a radio, believe it or not. And it's a really, really smart, economical little system.
But the X, the Xbox X, the more expensive one, which is €500 as against €300, is backwards compatible, isn't it? And also gets an awful lot more exclusives available to us.
Oh, yes. And I think that's maybe the one advantage where Microsoft has over the PlayStation. The backwards compatibility is absolutely second to none. Obviously, as consoles get older, the Xbox is at 20 years old this year. It's embraced its history in a way that Sony hasn't. So if you want to play the old Halo games, you're able to do that. If you want to play the old Forza games, you're able to do that as well. And if you're able to play good third-party exclusives like Grand Theft Auto 4 from 2008 and Red Dead Redemption from 2010 on there as well. So it really is the console of choice for the gamer in your life. Or if you yourself are the gamer, I would absolutely recommend the Xbox Series X in a heartbeat.
And what about the Netflix-style subscription service that's available on it?
Oh, Game Pass is absolutely brilliant. It blows all your competitors out of the water. You can get a... I'm currently on an option where it's... €1 for a trial month, which is a no-brainer, then €12 a month afterwards. And it's like a Netflix for games, basically, where they handpick about 30, 40 games a month. Some could be brand new games, some could be older games. And you're absolutely spoiled for choice with it. So if you are going out this Christmas and buying an Xbox, I would heartily recommend getting the Xbox Game Pass in addition to your console as well.
Okay, the Nintendo Switch hasn't changed in a long time, has it?
It came out in 2017. The new OLED version came out, which is the more, you know, prestigious or premium screen. But it has actually had a remarkable 2 years, in large part due to the pandemic. Animal Crossing has become such, you know, a titan of a game for them. And it's maybe the console of choice if you are, you know, you don't want to dedicate an awful lot of time to gaming, but you want to see what the fuss is about. And I would say it's the best console for people who haven't picked up a console in 20 years and see what the fuss is about. And it still caters to the likes of, you know, people like myself who want to play your Mario, your Zeldas. It also has some tremendous games on there like Animal Crossing, which is, I would say, the most addictive thing on planet Earth.
Okay. Well, talking of games, what are the ones that you might want to be buying as presents for people this Christmas?
Our game of the year list is coming out on entertainment.ie on Friday. And some of the games on there I have are Deathloop, which is a fantastic kind of Groundhog Day meets James Bond kind of shooter where you're stuck in a time loop. Absolutely wonderful. Forza Horizon 5, which is a great racing game, and that could appeal to someone who has never driven a car in their life or the biggest petrol head you know. It's an absolute miracle of a game. I love Hitman 3, which is, you know, a game where you play as an assassin who has to like plan out their kills. It can be as funny as Monty Python or as precise as John Wick. It's an absolute master of a game. Riders Republic from Ubisoft is a great game where I know a lot of people may be missing their winter ski holidays. Well, this is maybe the closest you can get to a ski holiday this January without spending $2,000 in the process. And finally, I would recommend the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which I maintain is the Star Wars of gaming. It's three incredible games, and it's maybe the best value for money for any game ever, where you can play for 100 hours one way as a good person and then play for another 100 hours doing the evil route. If you're looking for value for money this Christmas in any sector of gaming, I would recommend the Mass Effect Legendary Edition in a heartbeat.
Mike Finnerty, games editor for entertainment.ie, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM. So that brings our annual gadget show to a conclusion. Big thanks to all of our contributors tonight, Andy O'Donoghue, Alison Healy, Pamela Joyce and Elaine Burke for going through all of the various selections, to curries.ie for supplying us with all of the equipment to road test, and to Orla Ormond for putting it all together, for making all of the arrangements. Fair play to her for doing all of that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.